You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today we're continuing our series that focuses on music and the arts on JPR and around our region. We call it JX Arts. And to guide us through today's episode, I'm joined in the studio by Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson. Vanessa is JPR's arts reporter. She also hosts the podcast My Better Half and The Creative Way. Hi, Vanessa.
Good morning.
And Dave curates the music you hear at JPR as host of Open Air for JPR's Rhythm and News Service. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
If you'd like to join the conversation, send your thoughts by email to jx@jeffnet.org, and we'll try to get them into our discussion. In this episode of JX Arts, we have a wide variety of music, including some of Dave's favorite holiday songs with humor. We'll get to that later. But let's start with an album that you wanted to highlight, Dave.
Yeah, I started talking about this last time, and then I was going to save it to the end, and we kind of ran out of time. So I want to talk a little about Tedeschi Trucks Band, and if you know me at all, I'm a big fan of them. I'll save you the pedigree. They are related to the Allman Brothers in a lot of different ways, and I've kind of carried on a lot of that tradition. And the Tedeschi Trucks Band is this 12-piece band front by Derek Trucks, who's listed as one of Rolling Stone's best guitar players ever, and his wife Susan Tedeschi is just a powerhouse singer, and if she wasn't standing next to one of the best guitar players in the world every night, she'd be, you know, in way up on that list as well. And then they're fronting this like 12-piece ensemble with horns and percussion and drums and backup singers, and seeing their shows, it's like all these wonderful moving parts that work so well together. And one of the things they modeled their sound after was the 1970 Joe Cocker album Mad Dogs and Englishmen, which was a chronicle of his tour from that year. It featured Leon Russell, who was the band leader for that tour, as well as people you may know like Rita Coolidge, Carl Radel on bass, Jim Keltner on drums, They did a tribute to that at a festival called Lock-In. It's an East Coast festival that happens every year that includes a lot of sit-ins and collaborations, and Tedeschi Trucks Band is just sort of made for those situations. They're kind of a family affair. So they did a tribute to the Mad Dogs and Englishmen 1970 release, and joining them from the original was Leon Russell. He actually passed away about a year later. Rita Coolidge was there. Claudia Lanier, who is rumored to be the subject of the Rolling Stones song Brown Sugar. She's a backup singer. It was pretty popular back then. Also keyboardist Chris Staton, and then some more contemporary artists like Shannon McNally and Anders Osborne, Warren Haynes of Government Mule, John Bell of Widespread Panic, Chris Robinson of the Counting Crows, just this big ensemble cast that was paying tribute to these songs. And if you're familiar with the original, there were only four Joe Cocker songs that they performed on that album, and the rest were cover tunes. They covered the Beatles and Traffic and Bob Dylan and all kinds of folks like that. So they have released this as an album, and it's just some really good stuff. They do a great version of Let's Go Get Stoned, made famous by Ray Charles, with Susan Tedeschi just belting out the leads on it. They do a great version of The Wait, the band's big hit. They do a couple of Beatles tunes, and they did a Traffic tune with Dave Mason. The Traffic tune was originally on the album, and I wanted to play a clip of that. Dave Mason joining them on Feeling All Right.
Yeah.
Seems I've got to have a change of scene. Every night have the strangest dream. Prison by the way might have been left here on my own, so it seems I got to leave.
That's just how well they do those songs. Mm-hmm. If you closed your eyes, you probably wouldn't know you weren't listening to Joe Cocker, and they do it all live and just so well. And they're such a family affair when you go see them live. You have these two like amazing musicians who front the band. They're the namesake of the band, but they let the backup singers sing lead. And when they do that, Susan Tedeschi just takes the spot in the backup singers, and the keyboardist sings lead sometimes. Susan Tedeschi will trade licks with Derek Trucks on guitar. It's such a fun live band, and this is just it's like this was made for them. That whole album
is cool. It's true. They're so ensemble oriented.
Right.
I just want to pop in with, I forget what concert I was watching of Tedeschi Trucks, but you reminded me of this when you said that if Susan wasn't standing next to one of the greatest guitarists, she'd have props more.
Yeah.
There was one of my favorite scenes from them is when he gave her props on stage.
Uh-huh.
So she took her guitar solo, which was just on fire, so much so that he was raising his eyebrows on her, like, what is going on? What are you channeling right now? And then she goes on to do the most soulful, belting vocal solo.
Yeah, she's
really, brings it back.
I've seen him several times, and she's really taken a spot as the front person for that band in so many ways.
So he handed her a flower after on stage, and everybody cheered, so that was awesome.
That's really cool.
When you talk about the guitar player, being one of the most prolific guitar players in history, it makes me think of Eric Clapton and Jimi Hendrix.
Derek had relatives in the original Allman Brothers band, and then Derek and the Dominoes was an Eric Clapton project. He was named after that because Duane Allman of the Allman Brothers was also in the Layla album. So the Derek and the Dominoes Layla album, it gave them a lot of inspiration. They actually covered that whole double album live at Laughlin Festival in 2019 too, and they did a really good job with it. Just a lot of parallels with the Allman Brothers and Eric Clapton and everything going on in there.
Well, if you're just joining us, I'm joined in the studio by JPR's Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson. And if you'd like to join the conversation, send your thoughts by email to jx@jeffnet.org, and we'll try to get them into this discussion. So, Vanessa, you've been following a music concert series here locally.
Yeah, there's a local nonprofit, Anima Mundi Productions, and they put on really soulful, thought-provoking, and often sort of inter-artistic programming. And I'm finally starting to attend myself after, admiring them from afar for years. So, I'm starting to attend this year's series of the Heart of Humanity Concert Series. And what I saw recently at the Science Works Museum was something called Mass for the Endangered. And this features music by a female composer who's considered one of the top currently working right now, Sarah Kirkland Snyder. She right now, it might have passed last weekend, but this month she had an opera staged at LA Opera down in California. And it featured, so she took parts of the Mass, I touched on this a little bit last month, the traditional Mass, but it's mostly poetry from a writer named Nathaniel Bellows, and it's a bunch of odes to our endangered species, but sung in that choir style, sung by Galecantus, which is a collection of top British singers that specialize in Renaissance-era music. And then it wasn't just a concert. The audience watched this video art by an artist named Deborah Johnson. And it was interesting. One of the organizers, Ethan, said, well, we decided we're going to turn down the lights so you can't follow along with the poetry in your programs because we realized this combination is so mesmerizing that people want to sit in the dark to watch it. And it really was hypnotizing. It geometric sort of cosmic shapes and all these representations of animals weaving in and out. It's hard to describe, but I thought I would throw a link to it on our webpage later because it is the whole thing is available on YouTube. And let's see, afterward, the audience was invited to participate in another part of that event, which was an art installation conceived and sort of overseen by a local artist, Karen Hankin. She's a local textile artist. Some people will know her from the 2018 Brit Festival poster. So we went into, after the movie and the concert, we went into a room and we sat there with what looked like crayons. And we we grabbed a bunch of sketches, pre-made animal outlines, and we colored them as we wished. And when we were done, we went into a back room at the Science Works Museum, and it was set up as a little chapel with lights, battery-operated candles, and they have a space to put what looks like a stained glass piece. So we each contribute a little panel, and I can put a picture of that up as well. So I and the two people I went with have little panels in there, and it was just a really engaging thing to do with an audience.
Well, I've been to Science Works before. I didn't know that you could have a concert there, much less an immersive concert.
Yeah, it's an unusual venue, and I will say we would have liked the graded seating or on a slope, for the people in back to just to see the bottom edges of the film screen. But there is indeed a film screen there, and then afterward, we walked around into the instrument, the music room, and got to explore. So yeah, a lot there.
So now there's also this woman from the Middle East. That was part of this concert?
Not part of that concert, but looking forward. So the next Anima Mundi production in the Heart of Humanity concert series, Dr. Shireen Abu Qader and the Usul Ensemble are coming up December 7th right here at the SOU Music Recital Hall. Mm-hmm. Abu Qader is a prominent female composer, another female composer. This one is from the Middle East. There's something called the World Choir Games, and one of the choirs that she founded actually won a gold medal there. And so here at Southern Oregon University, she'll be presenting the world premiere of a new concert film. Exploring the rich world of Middle Eastern music. And it was created especially for the Heart of Humanity concert series here in Ashland. And it was produced in collaboration with an award-winning filmmaker, Maria Monani. And this also has multi-components. So aside from the concert film, that night, December 7th, Dr. Abu Qader will also perform her own compositions, as well as some traditional pieces, and do some engaging with the audience. And we have a clip from her own album. Also very entrancing.
That's
music.
That's really pretty.
It really is.
It really is. And I have to say, before that concert on December 7th, Dr. Abu Qader will also be hosting a free evening of Middle Eastern music and food and culture. That's on December 5th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's at Ashland Methodist Church. It is free, but they need an RSVP. I checked in last night, and so far they have openings, but you want to get your RSVP if you're interested. This is produced with Ashland Together and Chef Jackie Rosen, and it's supported by the Ashland Food Co-op. And just to shorthand it, you can find ticket information on both events at animamundiproductions.com. And Mike, actually, you'll be doing a full-length interview with Dr. Abu Qader herself on December 4th.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm here to tell you.
Okay, well.
It's going to be a 30.
You got ahead of my producer
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it'll be 30 minutes, and I'm hoping she'll share kind of an interesting story about why we have a concert film with the Usul Ensemble and not them in person. But the concert film will be really special.
Well, we'll definitely need to borrow that clip that you just played.
Mm-hmm.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Sort of entrancing. And I understand the music world recently lost an influential folk musician from Oregon, Dave. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about that. Okay. I'll be right back with JPR's Dave Jackson and Vanessa Finney. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. JX Arts is our monthly series about music, art, and culture around our listening region of Southern Oregon and Northern California. Joining me in the studio are Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson. Vanessa is JPR's art reporter and host of The Creative Way and My Better Half. Dave is the host of Open Air and curates music for JPR's Rhythm and News Service. Now, before the break, I mentioned that the music world recently lost an influential folk musician from Oregon.
Yeah, Todd Snyder passed away. He had a complicated month or so. He ended up had some vague details about being assaulted before a show in Salt Lake City, and then he went to the hospital and ended up getting arrested because it's kind of sketchy. So, and he has kind of a checkered past, to be completely honest about him. So a lot of the things, we're just not hearing everything that's coming out about that. But he died of pneumonia. Over the weekend, and he was originally from Portland, and kind of a troubadour folk singer. I first heard some of his like kind of novelty songs. He's probably most popular for one called Beer Run, BEERRUN, Beer Run. But he could switch from that humor to being very serious and very insightful, just on a dime. And that was sort of the brilliance of him. Mm. His humor, and then just real, good folk, singing, good music, good writing. He was from Portland. He moved to San Marcos, Texas. He got into music because he went to a Jerry Jeff Walker show, and the next day he bought a guitar and started writing music. And then he caught the attention of like some kindred spirits, like folks like Kris Kristofferson and John Prine and Shel Silverstein. So these real influential writers got into him right away. And his early recordings were on Jimmy Buffett's label, Margaritaville. And he had a soft spot for kind of the anti-heroes, and he always, people with the questionable pasts, maybe like himself, but he always treated them as complex characters. So there was some kind of funny, insightful stuff, but also these complex characters. He wrote a song about D.B. Cooper, the infamous skyjacker that happened when 1970-something. He parachuted out of a plane over Portland, and they never found him, Todd Snyder wrote a song about him. He wrote a song about Doc Ellis, who was a relief pitcher who threw a no-hitter in 1970, and he said he was on LSD at the time because he didn't think he was pitching. He thought he'd be sitting in the dugout the whole time, so he took acid, and then he got put in the game and threw a no-hitter. So those are the kind of folks
that is amazing.
Those are the kind of folks that Todd Snyder found interesting. And he questioned his own maturity and his life choices on a lot of songs. There's one called The Tillamook County Jail, where he got thrown in jail for kind of getting in a fight with somebody and dealing with that. And he sort of, in that he questioned his own maturity. It's like, am I finally too old for this kind of stuff? So it's just a really interesting songwriter. He influenced a lot of folks. And he wrote this, wrote a great song about Loretta Lynn. He went to the Cash Cabin. It was Johnny Cash's retreat / music studio. He went there to record some music, and there was a story there where Loretta Lynn was there, and in the middle of the night, there's this music blaring from her bus, and she was outside like 3 o'clock in the morning dancing. And when they asked her what was going on, she said, "I'm dancing with Johnny Cash." So he wrote this song about Loretta Lynn dancing with the ghost of Johnny Cash. Uh-huh. And it's a really touching story. So instead of a clip of his music, I just wanted to, I'll read it's the second verse of one of my favorite songs by him. It's called Like a Force of Nature. He says, "May your hope always outweigh your doubt till this whole world finally punches you out. May you play your music loud enough to wake up all your neighbors, or may you play at least loud enough to wake yourself up." That's pretty insightful stuff. He put on great he did great storytelling in concert, and just he'll be missed.
That's the kind of thing that always makes me wish that artists would, after they have a certain track record, would publish their lyrics.
Yeah, I imagine we'll be getting some books, some volumes of his lyrics, because they're pretty insightful.
Yeah. I met him once in passing. I worked at, in my the first part of my life, I lived in Southern California, and I worked at MCA Records in my 20s. And you mentioned Margaritaville Records. That was an affiliate of MCA. So he came in, and he was charming. He was a little rumpled, which tickled us because the room was full of suits, you know, all the executives there to celebrate the success of his second album, especially.
So he'll definitely be missed.
He sounds like quite a talent.
Yeah, he was.
So, Dave, what's happening on Open Air?
Well, we've just discovered there's a couple of new things that just came across my desk that just out of the blue, this Miami-based trio that I can't find a whole lot of information about. They're just, they've put out two albums. They're called Fat Produce. They're a trio that played, that's funk, jazz, it's a bass drum guitar trio, and just really kind of fun stuff. And both Danielle Kelly and I, hosts of Open Air, we like funky stuff, so it's cool to find this. And here's a clip of them playing the Toots and the Maytals tune. It's 5446, that's my number. But that's just my jams. I like stuff like that. And then yesterday I got a CD in. It's the Avett Brothers and joining forces with the 90s kind of metal psychedelia singer Jim Patton. He was in a couple of bands, one called Faith No More, another one called Mr. Bungle. And it's just such a it's really surprising seeing him teaming up with the Avett Brothers, who are known for kind of folk and a little bit of gospel thrown into what they do. And so they have a new collaboration, and it's generally kind of folky. Some of the songs get some of the crunch in it that you might expect from Jim Patton, but it'll do. Here's a tune called, or at least a clip anyway, from Eternal Love.
Every day, every dark night, so hard to speak without lying.
Every birth is the ending,
and every life is dying.
Here in the spaces, here in the shadows, behind the faces, beneath the souls. Everyone has it, everyone knows the dread of eternal love.
So we'll be playing that for y'all next week, starting next week on Open Air.
I love that. What's the name of that song?
That song's called Eternal Love, and it's the Avett Brothers and Jim Patton. And it's the project's called Avett Patton. If you're looking for it, they've removed all the vowels from the inside of those to make it difficult for people like me to talk about. So.
Just messing with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Vanessa, any upcoming concerts we should know about?
Yeah, it's more guitar. This one from the classical scene. There's a Michael Partington concert coming up again at the Southern Oregon University Recital Hall, the site of so much interesting stuff. And this is put on by the Guitar Society of Southern Oregon, which you're a member of if you're crazy for the guitar like I am. You can find that online. But we have a clip. This isn't from Michael Partington's actual program at the recital hall, but this is him doing a clip from a work by Isaac Albéniz.
Thank you.
Lovely. So that is virtuoso classical guitarist Michael Partington doing some Isaac Albéniz, and he'll be at the SOU Recital Hall November 21st. He's British, and he's currently living in Seattle, so he's based in the Pacific Northwest now, and he actually played here 21 years ago during the first concert season that the Guitar Society of Southern Oregon presented. And by the way, you can find ticket information and see their upcoming events at guitarsocietyso.org. And you can look forward to, let's see, his program has some older, you know, we have some 17th century guitar music, Domenico Scarlatti, Josef Mertz, but also lots from this century, more modern, Jorge Morel, Stephen Goss, Ariel Ramirez. So it should be a great program.
It's interesting. I don't think of guitars in the 17th century.
Well, what's fun is you can go back, back to Bach and make guitar transcriptions. And that's one of my favorite things to listen to is transcriptions for, you know, unoriginal instruments from that period. So it's fun.
When I hear guitar playing like that, I play guitar, but you can hardly call it the same thing when I'm playing as versus that. So
yeah, finger style. Yeah.
You're listening to our monthly series, JX Arts, with JPR's Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson. So Vanessa, what's going on at the Brit?
Well, the Brit Festival Orchestra is announcing their 2026 program, I believe, tomorrow evening. I'll be in attendance. They're having a little to-do at Dos Mariposas. And then we're going to air my interview with its new conductor, Norman Wynn, this Friday. Okay. During the exchange. So in August, the Brit announced the appointment of Norman Wynn as the new music director. That's after they spent 2 years searching nationwide for the successor to Teddy Abrams. And he's a lovely guy. I've talked with him a little bit just during my pre-talk interviews that I do at the Brit. And our news director, Maria Carter, actually sat down with him for an interview there at the Brit. So it'll be great to get him in our building. And, yeah, we'll be talking not only about how he's programmed next year's three-week run of the BFO, more how he's going to shape long-term what he has in store, long-range artistic planning. I know he wants to help expand the orchestra's reach across Southern Oregon and beyond. So we'll get into that in the interview that'll air this Friday. Some of Brit fans will recognize Wynn from 2023 when he was the guest conductor of The Princess Bride. He's also a former associate director of the Oregon Symphony. So he's been circling around us for a long time now.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's we've got about a minute left. Let's not forget the holiday season.
Holiday season.
Dave, what you got?
Oh, just I kind of like irreverent songs quite a bit. There's a great one for Thanksgiving. Chris Thiele wrote a song in the fall of 2016. You can imagine what was going on there. It's about how to survive conversations over the Thanksgiving table with family you only see once a year. It's called Elephant in the Room. It starts with the phrase, thank God for fermentation. it's about some of the pitfalls. I like to point people to the Simon and Garfunkel tune, Scarborough Fair. It's a great, if you're too afraid to ask what you should put in your stuffing, they have parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. It's a really good start for beginning cooks. And then we'll be spinning the entirety of Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant on Thanksgiving morning on open air. So we'll get that for you as well. That's maybe the most classic Thanksgiving song there is.
Okay, well, we'll have to leave it there. JX Arts will return next year with Dave and Vanessa. We'll take a little bit of a hiatus during Christmas. Thank you both.
Thank you.
My guests were JPR Arts reporter Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson, host of JPR's Open Air.